So, Doc, I wanted to talk to you because you claim to be a former Illuminati member, and now you are not.
God be praised. No, I'm a born again Christian now.
Oh, that's great. And so, how did you get into it? How did you get out of it?
Okay, but I could take a week explaining all the details, but I know we haven't got that long. No, you see, I was raised in a family that was in the order of the Illuminati. At the time that I became a member, I was a seventh generation witch at the time in the order of the Illuminati. You see, my family's background goes all the way back to 1789 in the Illuminati. So, my family has a long history in this, and I think what amazes me the most about when people think about this is that they think like in let's say like in Israel, everyone's born in a Jewish family, or in America, everyone's raised in a Christian family. But that's not the truth. When we look at other religions of the world, we know here in America, you have families that go back centuries into witchcraft, Satanism. When we get to Florida and Louisiana, we're talking now about Voodoo, Santeria, Palamayumba, and other things. It's not unusual for someone like me to be born into a family of witches, but in this case, yeah, it's the Illuminati.
And if you're a member of the Illuminati, you need to keep this in secret? Like, in school, you don't tell people?
Oh, no one had an idea what I was really up to. If you revealed anything about what you were really doing, that was a death sentence. But as I said before, now, I left the Order of the Illuminati when I was, what was I, 22, 22, 23 at the time. What had happened, I was serving in the United States Army at the time at Fort Lewis, Washington. And I was walking down the road. I had to pick up some supplies. You see, I was in medicine. That's where my medical degree comes from. And my name, Doc. Everyone calls me Doc because of my medical background. And so I'm going to the PX, and someone I didn't really know, more like, an acquaintance, someone else in the medical business, struck up a conversation with me, and he talked to me for about 5, 10 minutes. Then, right before he left, he asked me what I thought was the silliest question on God's earth at the time. He asked me, now remember, I'm in the Illuminati at the time, I'm a practicing witch here. He wanted to know if I would go to church with him on Sunday. Now, could you see me, a practicing Illuminati witch, knowing what they're up to? You know this. But could you see someone like me walk into a Christian church back then? I mean, the rafters really would have fell down on me at that point. But that one event started a domino effect that lasted for 3 years. And the long and short of it is, no matter where I went, no matter how far I went, there was a born-again Christian just waiting to witness to me. It literally, I am not lying when I say this, it was really one after another for 3 years. And I never had been witnessed to before that. And the first time I was witnessed to, suddenly it just was never ending. But at the end of those 3 years, I finally understood what the Christians were telling me all along in light of what I was doing. So it was on April 15th, 1979, and I admit it, I was a sold-out slave of Satan's at that time. But God be praised, that same day when I left that church, I was a born-again child of the King. And for what it's been th almost 39, 40 years that I've been fighting against the Illuminati, exposing their plans, the New World Order, the corruption in government, the ancient stories, the giants, what's going on with UFOs, the whole of it.
Yeah, I saw videos
And
of you on YouTube. Even you've been in Oprah and Oprah show and all kinds of.
oh, dozens of national, international show, like you said, let me think, Oprah. Oprah Winfrey, Geraldo Rivera, 2020 Inside Edition, Unsolved Mysteries. I've spoken in Japan, in parts of Mexico,
and yet
England.
You're still alive, praise God.
Well, yeah, and it only goes to prove that God is not through with me. You see, a lot of people, and it is true, this was the point I was trying to make. You leave the Illuminati, it's a death sentence under normal circumstances. But, you see, I'm a born-again child of Jesus Christ now. And that means God is going to take care of me. Now, no matter how powerful Satan or the Illuminati may believe they are, you know, they can't alter 1 second more or less when God has foreseen the time I'm going to leave the earth. So I've got nothing to worry about. I'm going to leave when God says it's time.
Do you remember Elijah and his helper, Gehazi? So he saw they're more with us than against us. And I believe there are more good people behind the scene than bad people. That's my belief.
I would like to believe that. I would. But I never thought of it like that. I never had.
People, you know, and guardian angels, of course, not only.
Amen to the. Oh, I always tell people I foresee a time when it's time for me to go to heaven. And after I have that talk with Jesus Christ, I foresee a whole bunch of guardian angels wanted to take me behind the nearest cloud and beat the pojays out of me for making them work so many overtime hours.
So we will get into it slowly, but my first question shortly is, did you know you work Satan? You worship Satan in those times?
Yeah, okay, well, we didn't call him Satan. Okay. And the Illuminati, they don't call him Satan. That's a Christian idea. You know, and the Illuminati, they teach that Satan's a Christian boogeyman that was created to keep the kids in line. You know, like, you know how like the parents would say, if you don't behave, you're going to go in, you know, and all this other stuff.
Of course.
You know, in the Illuminati, they refer to him as Lucifer.
And he's a good God in their eyes?
Well, yes. Let me explain this quickly. It is taught in the Illuminati that in the beginning, Lucifer was equal to God in all things. But as the millenniums rolled by, it was God who became jealous of Lucifer's equality and cast him out of heaven with all those who followed him. Right now, the Illuminati are convinced that they're summoning up enough of the force to where at the Battle of Armageddon, they're going to kill God and the Holy Spirit and put Lucifer on the throne where they feel he rightfully belongs. And right now, Christ is chained to a huge boulder in hell for betraying the cause.
So, Lucifer was created by God, or they don't believe like this?
No, they don't believe that.
I understand. And
yeah.
Okay, so maybe we should start with, you know, everybody who believes in the Bible, who reads the Bible, have to believe that there were giants among us.
Well, there's no doubt about it. We go to the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, just six chapters into it, it talks about the ancient giants for the first time.
So can you tell me more about those giants and their relation to the Illuminati? And
okay, well, first let's start off with the basic understandings of these creatures. The Bible tells us that giants range anywhere from 9.5 feet to 40 feet in height. There is a particular passage, I can't remember it off the top of my head, but it said that the giant was as tall as a cedar tree. Now, I checked on this just to make sure, but your average cedar tree is exactly 40 feet in height.
This is 28 meters, could be?
Yeah, it's 40 feet exactly, an average cedar tree. And the Bible tells us that was the height of the giant there.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's a four-story building. Something that tall.
That's, yeah.
You know?
Something like I live in Israel.
And these creatures had six fingers on their hands, six toes on their feet. They had double, sometimes triple rows of teeth. And when you study giants from what is recorded in the Bible, none of them were what you would say nice people. They were all evil, foul, feared creatures. You know, and I have no doubt that that is definitely true, because we have to remember it was fallen angels or demons that mated with female human beings, and because of this, the race of the giants were created. Now, this was done because Lucifer, remember, he was just thrown out of heaven and cast to the earth with all the others. He wanted to get revenge. He wanted to take over the world now. If he couldn't have heaven, he was going to take the earth. But in order to do this, he would have to create an army. And what better type of army could you create when you have soldiers that are 9.5 feet to 40 feet in height? And we know, among other things, God wiped them out the first time through the great flood. Now, but in Genesis chapter 6:4, it also says, not only were there giants in those days, but after those days. In other words, we have a prophecy here that states they would be coming again. And they did. And this is where Joshua, who was leading the armies of Israel, comes into the story.
How did they come back after the flood?
The same way it happened the first time.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, when we look at now what I'm going to do, I'm going to turn this screen. Now, I'm going to turn this for your listening audience so they can see everything that we're going to be talking about, okay?
Yes.
Now, can you see this photo without any problem?
Yes.
Okay. This is a map of ancient Canaan. Okay? And according to what we know, it was through the lower parts that Joshua led the armies of Israel through. And this entire area was inhabited by giants. There was, if we go by the various names in the Bible, there was approximately around 40 different types of, 40 nations that had giants in them. Now, one of the most understood and common one was up here in Bashan. Can you see this?
Yes.
Right. That's where Og, the king of Bashan, ruled. He ruled that entire area. Now, in this area, if we count the various cities, the towns, outer regions and places, and we go by the numbers in the Bible, you can extrapolate that in this area alone, there was approximately 1 million giants.
Okay.
That is, you know, a number that's almost unheard of. You know, 1 million giants in one area. Now, my thought is, why would Lucifer, of all places on the earth now, put 1 million giants in this area? Why do you think he would do that?
I guess it's something related to Israel somehow.
There is. Right here is Jerusalem, okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay, now there was a prophecy in the Old Testament that tells us of a coming Messiah that would be born right in this area, isn't there?
Bethlehem.
Yes, and we know that was Jesus Christ. It was, Lucifer was going to try to stop the prophecy of Jesus Christ being born, because the prophecies make it very clear Jesus Christ being God would ultimately defeat Satan himself. This is why he was trying to prevent the prophecy from coming true. In the Illuminati, it is taught, if you can stop just one prophecy of God, then God can't be God then. And so the rest of the prophecies could be undone at that point.
So they do learn the Bible.
Oh, they know it, but that's not to say they believe it.
Okay.
You know, they were going to try to stop Christ from being born. But you know as well as I do, Christ came about no matter what these people had tried. Now, let's go back over here and let me begin showing you other things. As I said before, when we take a look at the scriptures very carefully, we can find very easily the difference between the giants and human beings. Over here is a 6 foot tall human being, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Look at how tall the tall giants can get compared to a human being. Look at the difference. That is absolutely astounding.
How much? Yeah, let's say 6 times more than a normal.
Almost 7, actually.
Wow.
Because this goes up to 36. They're actually up to 40 feet in height, according to the Bible. Now, there were those who are trying to say giants were up to 400 feet. But there's nothing in the Bible that states that. They go to books outside of the Bible, such as Enoch, to base it on. And even then, the books of Enoch do not say how tall they were. They give a unit of measurement that no one knows how short or how tall that is. Some people try to say, well, it means this, so the giants are, no, that's not good research, let alone that's not evidence. You know how I work, Ivan. You know, I go with the facts and I show you the evidence.
Okay.
I don't, you know, but the remains, and I'm going to show you the proof of what I'm talking about here. Let me just start over here. Now, this, I'm going to show you the archaeological remains, the skeletal remains of some of these giants. Can you see this all right?
Yes.
Now, look at this giant here. This is just his head alone. And you can see the rest of the body slowly being unearthed by this archaeologist here. This giant was almost 20 feet long.
But is this real, like...
Yes.
Why nobody talks about it? Why, like...
Because... there is, if you want to use the word, a cover-up or conspiracy to hide the truth about the giants, because if we pull out and the giants and show the actual evidence like I'm able to do, well, then the Bible must be right.
Also, it can cause panic, right?
Yeah, well, it's the same thing with Noah's Ark. We have photographic evidence. We know it's on the... on the hillside of the mountain of Ararat. We've got satellite images also. But Russia and Turkey, the governments where that, you know, that's their property, they refuse to allow Christians to go there and excavate it. Why? Well, Turkey and Russia don't believe in God, do they? Like Christianity, do they?
I guess, yeah.
If we were actually able to take out Noah's Ark and show the world, it would prove God exists and God is right. We would have a whole change in our morality at that point.
Or at least that the Bible is right.
Yeah, and that would go strictly against the plans of the Illuminati to set up a new world order, wouldn't it?
And sorry about this uneducated question. Can you take a DNA from something like that? Is this a stone or a bone?
Well, you see, this is what we're trying to do. All I can tell you at this point is I'm on the verge of a major find. And among other things, yes. If the evidence is, shall we say, the way we think it's going to be, we may be able to extract DNA from either the bone marrow or from the dentine in the teeth and verify everything. You see, because of my medical background, I'm convinced that giants did not have a double helix. I think they had a triple helix. You see, the double helix covers all the information to create a human construct. Everything that's needed is put into two different strands. There's enough space there in two strands to make a human construct, but there's not enough to make a triple. I think because of the size of the giants, the extra fingers, the extra toes, the triple teeth, their huge skeletal frames, muscles, ligaments, cartilage, tendons, so on and so forth. I believe, medically speaking, they had to have a triple helix to build the type of construct it would take to create a giant.
Okay.
You know? Let me show you, let me take you through a couple of others, okay?
Yes.
Just to prove to you that these things are being found. This particular giant here that was being unearthed was 15 feet. 15. That's 2.5 times taller than the 6-foot man. Who could fight against something like that and win?
That's yeah. my biggest question. So you said there were a million like them in some point. How did they not conquer the earth? Like, how did they not...
God. Easy enough. I mean, this is the back of the boxcar of a railroad train. This is the back. And look at how tall the remains of this mummified giant is.
Amazing.
This one, let me show you one more in particular. Well, let me show you two more. Hold on, because this is important. I want you to really see this. This here was a man who was digging his backyard.
Wow.
And he unearthed this bone. Now, let me show you the importance of this, because that bone is part right here. Oops, hold on. Medically speaking, this is the femur bone. It's the bone that connects to the hip down to the tibia, down here. Your average tibia is about 10, 11 inches long. Okay, right around there. This one, 47 inches long, almost 4 feet in length.
Amazing.
This giant stood, if we compare it to an average-sized human being, somewhere around 15, 16 feet. This bone, you know, is in right here. The Mount Blanco Fossil Museum in Texas. Now, look at this one here.
Whoa.
These giants stood about 40 feet in height. I mean, look at how big that man's head compared to this one. That one's about 8 times bigger than his.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about, you know, Goliath and David.
Well, Goliath was a small giant. He was 9.5 feet tall.
But still, you know, it was...
Yeah, it well, was again, 9.5 feet tall.
Intimidating,
It's not intimidating, it's scary.
Yeah.
Now look at this here. These were double-headed axes that was found. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, just to give you a perspective on this, let me show you this next picture, just to show you how big this is.
Wow.
This double-headed axe stands around 10 to 11 feet. It's in the Baghdad Museum. What human being, if it's a normal human being, would create such gigantic weapons? You could never pick them up and wield them, could you?
Yeah, I guess people would say it for decoration or something.
For what? What decoration has ever been made like this?
Yeah.
No, that doesn't make sense. But what we do know, and again, let me show you something here. I think you'll find it interesting. Here's an X-ray of what would have been the a hand of a giant.
It's you an see? X-ray from something they found, or it's a like Photoshop.
Like what?
Photoshop, like somebody.
Oh, no, it's not Photoshop. This is real. I can tell you by examining the carpals and metacarpals and the phalanges myself. This is exactly as it should be.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, there are some people nowadays.
I cannot, you know, the number 6 in the fingers, it's immediately drops me for the prophecy, you know, from the Revelation.
Revelation chapter 13, verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him who hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, there are some people that still carry the recessive gene of the giants in them.
And there are still people who are very tall, right?
Yeah. Look at this person. Mm-hmm. 6 fingers on each hand. There are people that, as I said, that are outrageously tall, like this man here.
Yeah.
This is Robert Wadlaw. Before he died, he was standing 8 feet 9 inches tall. Just an inch shy of 9 feet. Now, he died because of an infection. But the doctor said if he didn't die, he would have kept growing.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. He would have kept growing. How tall he would have gotten, I don't know.
But usually those humans today who are getting so tall, they are died very young, right?
I don't know if that's necessarily true. I don't see a pattern with it. But this is his father, who himself was 6 feet tall, from what I understand. And this is Robert himself, compared with the size of his dad. Just look at his feet.
I look at his hands. The hands are huge.
They're massive. You know, but again, there's plenty of archaeological evidence to demonstrate giants really existed. There's one particular relief. You've heard of Darius the Mede, right?
I'm not so good in history.
Okay. Well, he lived in ancient Persia.
Ah, Dariavish.
Yeah. Oh, Dariazis?
Dariavish. Dariavish. I guess. Okay.
Okay. This is a relief of Darius. This is Darius himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are the soldiers he captured. And these are some of his soldiers behind him. See, the ancient records state that Darius himself was a giant. Especially when we look at Darius compared to them, Darius, if the stories are true, stood somewhere between 9 to 10 feet in height.
And that's not the only case we can see giants in ancient pictures, right? Not pictures, right. Drawings.
Well, this is a relief. This is a relief. It was carved into the stone. You know, but there are ancient drawings, petroglyphs, and other things that will prove that there were giants. There's one particular. Let me see if I have it here quickly. Of giants. Well, here's one from England. Okay. You've heard of the stories of Merlin and King Arthur, right?
No, I'm sorry.
In England, you never heard of the ancient stories of King Arthur and the Round Table?
King Arthur, yes.
Right, and his magician was Merlin.
Okay.
Well, according to the ancient stories, Merlin, with the help of giants, built Stonehenge.
Okay.
You know those stone circles?
Yes.
Yeah. Let me show you Stonehenge.
Actually, no one can explain how they built it, right?
Like,
no,
I can.
Yeah, but I mean, no scientific.
Yeah. This is Stonehenge.
Interesting.
Yeah. Now, there was more than 1,000 of these stone circles throughout England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, you know, the British Isles.
I would like to hear more about it.
You know, and well, just a couple of other quick examples. Let me show you some, okay? Mm-hmm. Sorry that I have to do it like this, but this really is...
I thought that Stonehenge is the only one.
No. Hold on a second. Right here is another one. It's known as Avesberyhenge. You can see the remains of the stones mm-hmm. all around it. Okay, this is 2 miles in circumference.
Yeah, I can see
two miles. Yeah, 2 miles. Now let's go to this next one. Can you see this one? Okay.
Yes.
This one is known as Rollwright Stone Circle. Okay, let's go to let's skip these next couple. Let's go to this one here. Hold on a second. This one is known as the Merry Maids. This is in Cornwall. This has 19 stones around it. There's another one in the area known as Castlerigg, right here.
Yeah.
Go here. This was in
wow.
This is in the Isle of Lewis.
That's very similar to the Stonehenge.
It's in Scotland. Well, you know what's really interesting about all this? Let's go back. I want to take you back to show you something. Now, here we have, if you remember, the land of ancient Canaan, right?
Yes.
Now, if we go all the way straight to the northernmost part of Canaan and keep going, we're going to end up in this part of the world. This is ancient Persia, known as modern-day Iraq. Now, you keep going up, and you're going to come to a place known as Göbekli Tepe. Göbekli Tepe, I think it's about 50 kilometers, well, let's say 50 to 100 kilometers at the most, from the northernmost part of ancient Canaan. Let me show you what you'll find there.
Wow, that's archaeological digging,
yeah.
How you say it?
Yeah, this is Göbekli Tepe. It's the same type of stone circles in Stonehenge.
So, what did they do it for, those circles?
I'll explain in a second. This pillar, just one of those stones, that's 19 feet tall.
That reminds me the drawing you showed me from
yeah.
King Arthur.
Yeah. This is what the archaeological site looks like. Now, they've been excavating and working on this for 40-something years now. They've unearthed 10% of the area.
Hmm.
And they have found out that there are a lot more of these in that area. A lot more. When we take a look at some of these other photos, you can see that they have been doing a lot of work trying to expose what's underneath the ground and everything.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, I'll get to the explanation in a second. Let me just continue here.
Okay.
Now, we go from, as it says, ancient Canaan up to ancient Persia or Iraq. And here is Göbekli Tepe on the map. You go a little further, there's another place known as Nivali Kori. At Nivali Kori, guess what you find? The same type of stone structures.
Very interesting, Doc.
Now here's the really interesting part about it. It's estimated that Stonehenge, the construction, first began in 3000 BC, okay?
Yes.
Göbekli Tepe is dated back to 11,000 BC. So that means civilization is older than what we originally thought, and it proves that in ancient Persia, stone circles were the first area on the earth to be built. And ancient Persia is right next to Canaan, where all the giants were. And let's not forget, it was Darius the Mede that was ruling in Persia. It's the giants that were building the stone circles.
And now we have to continue because I want to hear more. I want to hear why did they build it? Is it like something for fun?
There's a very good reason, and I'm going to explain this to you and show you something. Now, first of all, it's not just Stonehenge where you're going to find stone circles. In England, there's other areas on the world. Let me show you some. This stone circle, this is in Russia. This stone circle is in Russia. And the completed version would look like this because it had a roof and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Stonehenge originally had some type of covering on its roof. This next one is in Sweden. Sweden!
Beautiful.
This one, known as Burnt Hill, this is in Heath, Massachusetts. There's more, but let's get to this one particular one. I want to show you what's going on. Well, okay. Here was what's known as the American Stonehenge. I've been there a number of times, okay? This is in New Hampshire, in Windham.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot of different walls and caves that was built when their stone circles were built there. But there's also something that gives us a major clue. Over here is an altar that was used for human sacrifice.
Oh, wow.
Look at the grooves that was carved into it. That's where the blood would pool up and drain out at this point. You see, places like Stonehenge and the other stone circles throughout the world, they had three major purposes. They were used as religious centers. They were used as astrological observatories, and they were places that was used for the rites of human sacrifice. Underneath Stonehenge alone, archaeologists have unearthed more than 4,000 human skeletal remains that were sacrificed. And that's just Stonehenge. Remember, that's a small circle. The one in Avesbury-henge, remember that one that was 2 miles in circumference?
Yes.
Can you imagine how many human sacrifices are buried underneath that one?
Amazing.
Now, We know, and I'm going to start connecting all the dots for you here. Just be patient with me. It'll take a little while, okay?
As long as you can go.
Oh, I'll tell you the story. That's not a problem. Now, there is another stone circle that I think will interest you the most, or at least get your attention. Hold on a second. Just let me reference something here. Okay. Open. Have you ever seen this before?
I'm not sure.
Well, you should, because it's in your neighborhood. This is Gilgal Rephaim.
Oh, it's in Israel?
Yes.
Oh.
Now, Gilgal Rephaim, from the Hebrew, means the wheel of the ghost or wheel of giants. Rephaim.
Rephaim, Ken. Gilgal Rephaim.
Yes. This thing is massive. There's more than 42,000 basalt stones that make up this formation, and it dates back over 5,000 years ago. Now, here's the rub of it. When we checked the history books and the archaeological records, there was no tribe, no nomads or anyone that lived in Gilgal Rephaim except for the ancient giants. No one else lived in that area except for the giants.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's in your backyard.
Amazing.
Now, this is very similar to something else we find here in America.
Why?
You see what I'm talking about here?
I'm seeing.
That's the Bighorn Medicine Wheel, and that's located in the Bighorn National Forest in Sheraton, Wyoming. This is where the Indians used to live. Now, this is where we get back to the Illuminati. When I was in the Illuminati, I was told, now this was back during the 1970s. This was a long time ago when I was, let's say when I was young. But I was told these stories of these ancient giants that lived throughout North America, and that they stood about 15 to 18 feet in height, and that they had orange hair. According to the stories, these ancient giants lived not just in South America, but also in North America. You know, most of them were found like in the western part of North America. And the stories go that these giants lived in North America and that they would run around and do whatever they want. They would go through the Indian tribe, through the nations. They'd grab their cattle up underneath their arms, or they would grab a buffalo here or deer's here, and they would just carry them away and eat them. Now, the problem was, because it was so big, one tribe could not do anything to defeat them, to stop them. However, someone got the clever idea that if they united all the tribes together, they could hunt down the giants and take care of them once and for all, and that's what they did. They started hunting down the giants and brought them to the complete point of genocide. Now, according to the stories, they cornered the last of the giants, about 12, 15 of them, in this one huge cave. And the Indians were throwing in spears, shooting in arrows, using slingshots, whatever, to try to force the giants out of that cave, but the giants would not come out. So what they decided to do, they built a huge fire in front of the cave to try to smoke them out. Rather than come out, the giants remained in that cave and they died. Now, if you understand the American Indian mindset, that cave would no longer be allowed to be entered. It was a cursed area now. No one would ever go in again.
Mm-hmm.
So in some cave in the western part of the United States of America are the skeletal remains, full skeleton nouns, of 12 to 15 giants. And that's what I'm on the verge of discovering.
You want to go there digging?
I've already been there
mm-hmm.
a number of times over the last 5 years. I'm going to be moving to this area soon because we have been finding petroglyphs that's been telling us stories about these ancient giants and such. Let me see if I can find some of those petroglyphs for you, okay? Before I get to that, let me show you something really odd that's going here. Now, let's get back to Stonehenge for a second, okay?
Yes, and reminding you, we have to go into the connection to Illuminati.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. If we go again, Stonehenge,
mm-hmm.
okay, where they're summoning up demons at places like this. That was their purpose. Okay, but something strange has been going on and people have not been making the connections. Now I'm going to show you something here and just bear with me for a moment. If we look, here is Stonehenge again, okay?
Yes.
Now, right across the road from Stonehenge is a crop formation. This is not the Star of David. This is a hexagram with the circle around it. This is the foulest, the most evil of occult symbols in all of history. Nothing can touch it. You need this symbol if you're going to summon up a demon to this plane of existence.
Mm-hmm.
So what is this doing next to Stonehenge?
This yeah. is a, do you think this is a man-made?
No. But let's keep going. Remember Avesbury Henge?
Yes.
Yeah, this one, as I said, hold on, is 2 miles in circumference. And you can see the remains
mm-hmm.
of the stones. It's so big that part of this actual town is built through it. That's how big this is.
Yeah.
Now, let's take a look at this next picture. Now, here's Avesbury Henge. You can see the stones again, the town going through it. There's a crop formation here. And look at the crop formation right here.
And nobody till you did the connection between those two.
One more time.
Nobody
one more time.
Till today, nobody did understood the connection between those.
No one's been making the connection. But this is a very ancient occult symbol. It's hundreds of years old. It's at least 500. It's more than 800, I'm sure. It's known as a thaumaturgical circle. This is when one person, if they have enough skill, can summon a demon through.
So again, I'm asking it again. This, you think men did it?
This?
Yes.
No.
Amazing.
Demons.
Wow.
Demons. I'm convinced it's demons that's doing it. Look at this one here.
Hexagon.
Okay. Here's Avesbury Henge again. The 2 miles. And look at this one. Right next to it.
Amazing.
This next one, you're going to really flip out over. This was another crop formation. Can you see the hidden symbol that was drawn in it?
I see sixes, I see the X two-headed, and I see a wave.
Six, six, six. Yeah.
Also looks like Google logo. But
yeah, but
that's
actually
just conspiracy.
It looks it's the same thing that they did with the symbol for the Trilateral Commission.
Yes.
I was talking about this years ago, but when we look at the logo, you'll see. Hold on. It's made up of three sixes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the same thing. Now, if there was another crop formation, let me show you this one. Right here.
Yes.
And there it is. What does that look like to you?
As a face.
With horns.
Yes.
Yeah. You see, the purpose behind all the creation of the stone circles is to bring back demons. We have to remember one thing. It was fallen angels or fallen demons that mated with female human beings, and they created the race of the giants. Now, according to all the cultural stories throughout the world, in England, Scotland, Ireland, in England itself, Göbekli Tepe, Nevali Kore, Gilgal Beltane, Russia, Sweden, all the stories speak of ancient giants that lived in their areas. And all of those cultural stories tell us they built these giant monuments. Those would have been the stone circles. The archaeological records prove giants existed in the area. We have their weapons, their tools, and other things that the governments of the world are trying to make sure people don't know about. And from the archaeological records, we also know places like Stonehenge, Gilgal Rephaim, Avesberyhenge, all those were places where the rites of human sacrifice were being performed so that demons could come back through them. And, among other things, we know that the crop formations are occultic ones. Those, the ones I've just shown you, were never put into newspapers or magazines. Those were not being shown. And I can show you a lot more. But the point is, they're not being shown. Because the true reason this is going on, the stone circle, is so that they could bring back the demons. We know, according to the prophecies in the book of Revelation, that the demons are going to be set loose upon the face of the earth. The easiest way you could do this is through the stone circles. That's why they're across the world. This is what's going on. And why the ancient giants were created. Because those demons knew the prophecies of what God was going to write about. So they made a way through their children, the giants, to build these structures so that they would eventually be able to come back through them. That's what the purpose behind those stone circles had been all along.
Okay. And now the relation to Illuminati?
The Illuminati's religion goes all the way back to Babylon itself.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Lucifer had those fallen angels mate with human beings. What was the original intention of Lucifer once he was thrown to earth? What was his original purpose?
I don't know.
He wanted to take over the world, remember?
Yes.
And that's what the Bible says he will eventually do during the last 7 years during the tribulation period.
Yeah, and he even told to Jesus like that he has all the authority.
Kingdoms.
Kingdom. here, like the earthly kingdom, and he can give it to whoever he wants.
At that point, yes. And that's why these plans are thousands of years old, because Lucifer was planning for the future. His plan, remember, this is a spiritual being. Time means nothing to him. So for us, when this first started, let's say almost 5,000 years ago, 5,000 years is a horrendous amount of time for us. But for someone like Lucifer or a fallen angel, time means nothing. So they planned for all these things to happen. It took time, but it got there. And now, what is going to happen is you're going to see more demonic activities at these stone circles than all of recorded history. Okay. Here we go.
Nice to see your face again.
But that's only a small portion of the overall evidence I have just on the giants, the stone circles, the aliens, crop formations. It all fits in together. You saw the film.
I know. You have hours and hours on YouTube and DVDs here we can get from your website. Lots of material that I found fascinating.
You know, as I said, we show you all the evidence.
Yes. And now I have more like simple questions. Let's say I'm a human who is in the Illuminati cult. What do I believe in?
Well, first of all, you believe in what I told you about their version of the Great War in Heaven. Okay. Second of all, you practice the rites of human sacrifice 8 times a year.
Okay.
It has to happen. The last one was on December 1st. It's on the night of Yule in the Illuminati. most of the power brokers, the big people who's running this world, are in the Illuminati. In Jerusalem, on the Knesset, in the Supreme Court, was built by the Rothschilds, wasn't it?
Yes.
The Rothschilds head the Order of the Illuminati to this very day. So, I have the documents.
Why do I, as an Illuminati, let's say, why do I want to work for those giants, for this Lucifer? What do I believe in?
Giants aren't around anymore. Okay? Lucifer is, or Satan, as he's now known as. Why? Because you want to become one of the big people when he creates the New World Order. You want to be one of the big wigs in charge of the earth.
And do they believe like in eternity? Like after they die, they would return or something?
No, they don't believe in heaven or hell.
Okay.
They believe in reincarnation.
Oh.
Yeah, see, they believe, see, this is why a lot of their plans, the Illuminati's plans, are written in a way that will take maybe 100 years, maybe a little bit longer. They don't care because they believe when they die, they're going to come back to continue their plans anyways.
And how do they make sure they would be Illuminati in the new incarnation of them?
Well, because according to the belief of reincarnation, you can come back exactly the way you left. You know, other stories about reincarnation, let's say from the Hindus, they say that, yes, they believe in reincarnation, but they say that if you didn't live a good enough life, you can come back as a bug, a bird, an animal. But that's one way of looking at it. The Illuminati have their version of looking at it. It's just like there's different versions of Christianity.
Yeah.
Like born-again Christian, then there's the Orthodox Christians in Russia, so on and so forth.
Yes.
It just depends on your own personal perspective or interpretation.
So it's all about proceeding honor and richness and levels
Power.
of power.
Power. Power.
It's funny because it's the different way of Jesus, who said, humble yourself and be a servant and be the lowest.
Yeah, but we got to remember, Satan fell, or Lucifer fell, because he wanted all the power for himself. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 14, verses 12 to 14? It says, five times he said, I will, and one of them was, I will be like God.
But
he wanted everything.
Isn't this psychotic? Like, he knows God. He knows that God created him.
Yeah, but he didn't know how powerful God really was. That was his mistake. Lucifer, in his pride, thought there was nothing he couldn't do. And because of that, he underestimated God.
I cannot get it, because he has a beginning and maybe an end. But God doesn't.
Well, again, as I said, Lucifer fell from pride. That's it. He thought there was nothing he couldn't do. It's the same thing with, you know, megalomaniacs or people, you know, what are those people? I can't think of the other word I'm thinking of, but their mindset is, it's all about me. I can do anything I want, and people's going to bow down and worship me.
Yeah.
You know? And it was the same thing with Lucifer.
So I'm saying it's psychotic.
It's a psychosis. By human understanding.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what did it, was pride. He wanted all the power and the glory for himself. And this is what he's still after. And this is what the Bible tells us is going to happen during the seven-year tribulation period. They will get the earth for 7 years. And this is the plan of the Illuminati. It's ages old, but this is the goal. That's why they're calling it a new world order.
So our time is ending, but I want just more two quick questions. Do you have some guess or belief how would the Antichrist will come? Who will it be? Where will it be?
How can we
recognize?
Well, the Bible gives us a couple prophecies that will show us how close we are to the rapture and then the tribulation period. It's in the book of Matthew, where it's prophesied about the budding of the fig tree and then the olive tree, the branches and all this. When that happens, the next generation would be the last one. Now, that's reference directly to Israel, when Israel became a nation back on May 14th, 1948. If I remember the exact date, it's May 14th, 1948. And so the Bible tells us when Israel comes back as a sovereign nation again, the next generation, that's the last one. Now, how far down the road? Well, the Bible gives us a couple different measurements as far as how long a generation is. A generation can be 35, 40, 70, 100, or 120 years in length. Okay? Now, if it's 35 and 40 doesn't work, because that would bring us back to 1983 and 1988. Well, the rapture didn't happen, you know, so it can't be those. Now, it could be 70 years, which would bring us to the year 2018, or it could be 100 years or 120. So that would bring us down to 2048 or 2068. Now, I'm not saying those are the years.
Of course.
What I'm saying here, because I don't believe in date setting, yeah. What I'm saying is if we go by the Bible measurement of a generation, it could be any time now. Because we're in 28, and if it's 70 years, 2018 would be the year. But I'm not betting on it.
You know what I think? that there is something very special happened in about 1983.
Are we talking about the grand alignment of the planets?
No. First of all, I was born.
Okay.
But, and in
what is so special about that?
But you know this book, 1984?
Yes, George Orwell.
Very interesting book, right? And I think all of this system we're living in today, of let's say Big Brother, or it started around there, you know, in 1984. Well, internet connection worldwide, and
that was in 1990s, 1998.
I think, yes, but it didn't develop so wide. But yeah. I'm, you know, in years you can go 10 years or 20 years, but never mind. I'm just saying, this is the network for New World Order, as it's described in the book 1984.
Well, it did say in the Book of Revelation that everyone around the world will be able to see what the Antichrist can do, his miracles, his power, and obviously, I would say the internet.
Yeah.
You know, because right now, that's what you and I are doing. We're on opposite side of the world. You're, 8,000 miles away from me, and yet I can see you face to face. I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
This can be easily done now with the Antichrist when it comes to power.
Will return.
You know, yeah. And the Bible also told us that towards the end time, knowledge would increase.
Yeah.
And boy, has every 6 months now, they say, our knowledge is doubling.
Okay, so my final question, can you give us a few words of hope after hearing all this?
Well, there's always hope. That's one thing about it. And the greatest hope is found in the Bible and the prophecies. It tells us that, first of all, a person doesn't have to die and go to hell if they don't want to. They can get saved through Jesus Christ. This is why he died as the ultimate sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. And by turning to Christ and accepting his gift of salvation and him, you know, especially in your life, trust me, your life is going to be so much better after that. It is. Now, as I said, I was in the Illuminati for 20 years of my life. I was raised in this. You know, I saw a lot of things no one should ever have to see. But I was part of this New World Order system. I remember the plans, the times, the dates, the names, all of it. But for everything I had then, it's nothing compared to what I have now. Now, I barely have 2 pennies to rub together to my name. But I'll tell you this much, I haven't been this happy or this content in my life, because my final destination is going to be with Jesus Christ in the heaven of God. I know no matter what happens during the last 7 years of the tribulation period, God is going to win at the end. You know, so my hope for a better future has been secured. I don't have to worry about any of it, because in the end, we win. But that's up to every individual to either accept the free gift of eternal salvation through Jesus Christ or reject it. And I wouldn't want to be in their shoes if they reject it.
Doc Marquise, thank you very much.